Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me today is author Edna Thayer. Edna began her writing career after she retired from over 40 years in the nursing profession. Her first book, co-authored with Mary Huntley and Linda Beer, was published in 2003 and told the 50-year history of the School of Nursing at Minnesota State University, Mankato, Minnesota. She teamed up again with Mary Huntley for her second book, A Mirthful Spirit, Embracing Laughter for Wellness, which was published in 2007 and tells about the benefits of joy and laughter for one's health. Feisty Lydia, Memoirs of a German War Bride, is Edna's first venture as a solo author. It was published in June of 2009, and it is the topic of our conversation today. In addition to being a registered nurse, Edna holds master's degrees in both nursing and counseling. Her and her husband, David, live in a home on Lake Francis in Elysian, Minnesota, next door to the home of John and Lydia Ross, the subject of Edna's book. And you can find out more information at Edna's website, feistylydia.com. So thank you for joining us today, Edna.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
So this new book, it's a little bit of a departure, it sounds, from your previous writings.
Yes, all three of them were very different in nature.
Mm-hmm. How did you find the overall experience writing a memoir and really writing solo?
Oh, I loved it. Lydia was my next-door neighbor for 32 years, and she was so fascinating. She had such interesting stories to tell. I always thought her stories needed to be written in a book, so it was a fun experience.
And so how did the original thought come to you to actually put her stories into book form to write this book with Lydia?
Well, I guess we moved into our lake home in 1976, and Lydia came over and greeted us with a warm hug in her German brogue, and we just thought she was such an interesting person that we decided, I just kind of kept mental note of everything that she said, but it wasn't until a year ago last April when she went into a nursing home that I decided if her story was ever going to be written, the time was now, because I could tell that her health was slipping. And so I got permission from her and her family to write the book, and I began the interviews last fall, and the story's history. I finished the first manuscript the first week of March, and she actually died on March 22nd, but her mind was clear until the end.
It was clear, so she could recall her stories quite vividly.
Yes, she could. And her husband was also present at most of the interviews. They lived together in the nursing home, so he would add to them also.
How many hours of interviewing do you think you did?
I'm not sure, but it was about an hour a week from October through the 1st of March.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that is in addition to remembering all the things she told us.
Right, over 30 years.
When we lived next to her, right.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about your first encounter with Lydia, which was almost 30 years ago.
That's right. It would have been in 1976 when we bought our lake home, which was next to their home. And we were moving in, and Lydia comes over with a warm hug in her German brogue, says, "We're working too hard. We needed to come over and have coffee." So we went to her house and had coffee and homemade goodies. And that was the first of many shared coffees that we had with Lydia during our years.
And so tell us a little bit about her and why she was so fascinating. Take us back to Germany.
She was born in Germany on July 10, 1925, and she lived through the Depression, war in her hometown and country, and her journey to America with a young son aboard a troop ship in 1948 to join her husband in this small town of Elysian. Those stories were always fascinating. She had death-defying experiences, and she would tell them in a way that was entertaining. So it was always fun to listen to her accounts of the story.
Well, so how did you personally relate? I mean, you lived in a world very different than where she was growing up, and through these experiences, how did you relate to her stories?
That's right, but I remember, believe it or not, World War II. That kind of gives my age away. I was 5 years old when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor in December of 1941, and I was in the barn with my dad when he was milking cows and listening to the news on our old radio full of static. I remember FDR coming on the news and saying, "This day will live on in infamy." I didn't know what infamy meant, but I knew it was serious because my dad rushed to the house to talk to my mom in those worried, hushed tones that a child was not supposed to hear. And my parents were so fiercely proud to be German that I could never understand why we, as German Americans, would go to war to fight the Germans. So it was always an interesting curiosity in my life to learn more about World War II. And so then when I moved next door to this lady who had lived through it in Germany, it was very fascinating to hear her side.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the feisty and feisty Lydia.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that actually comes in a story from her birth. Lydia was born premature at 3 pounds. And the midwife told her mother that she better pray that she die, because if she lived, she would have too many problems. But her mother, of course, really wanted her firstborn child to live and took excellent care of her. She put her in a cotton-lined shoebox in the front of a warmed oven of her wood-burning cook stove. Can you imagine getting the temperature just right? So Lydia neither shivered nor ached. By the time she was 3 months old, she was strong and healthy, and the midwife told her mother, if she hadn't been born so feisty, she never would have lived. And that energy and high spirit remained with Lydia all her life. She had a reputation for being feisty in a fun, impressionable way all during her life.
And you saw that in her.
Yes, very much so. Everyone in the Legion saw it in her.
Is that right? Do you
yes.
have any stories about something that may have happened in the Legion?
Well, when we moved into our house, it was interesting. If we needed to tell people where we lived, all we had to say was we lived next door to Lydia, and everybody knew. And yes, I do have some stories that describe her feistiness during living here. She was an avid sports fan, and her son played sports. So in the fall, of course, the sport is football, and one time Lydia always stood next to the sidelines of the game, and one time she didn't like the call that the officials made, and she marched right onto the field to object, and the poor team got another 10-yard penalty before they could usher her off the field.
Oh, my gosh.
And during the basketball season, her husband wouldn't sit with her. He sat up in the top row of the bleachers, and she sat right next to the floor. And during one game, when she didn't like the call from her against her favorite team, she marched right onto the basketball floor to tell the referee that his black and white striped shirt suited him just fine. He should be in Sing Sing for the call he just made.
Oh, that is so funny. I bet, I could just see the embarrassment in her husband.
Yeah. But I asked her son if he was embarrassed by it, the one who was playing in these games, and he said, "Oh, no, everybody in town knew my mom, and they just kind of expected it of her."
Oh, that's so funny. That's
yeah.
So how did you approach her when the idea came to you about actually writing this book?
Okay, last summer, which would have been summer of 2008, I approached her family and her and asked permission to write the book and to interview Lydia further for details to make sure I had everything correct. And Lydia's first comment was, "Oh, who would want to read a book about me?"
Mm-hmm.
But I did convince her that it would be an exciting book. And so I began the interviews the first week of October, and she actually became very excited about it. She looked forward to the visits in the nursing home, and I would read to her each time what I had written the time before, because she told me that I could only write it if she approved of everything I said.
Mm-hmm.
I think she thought I knew too much about her.
Oh, she...
And I probably did.
She wanted to make sure you didn't give away any secrets.
That's right. That's right.
That's so funny.
So I would read what I had written the week before for her approval and maybe further details, and then I would go on and interview some more. So it was an exciting process that lasted through the winter.
So clearly it was really an enjoyable experience for her.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Now, the illustration, where did that come from?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. The illustration was drawn by her grandson Kirk, who is an artist. And it is drawn from the wedding picture, but he did it in charcoal in a large picture. And then that was, you know, reduced in size for the cover. But I think it's a wonderful picture, and Lydia was so proud of it. Mm-hmm. It hangs in the nursing home room of Lydia's husband, John, now.
Okay. Oh, it's a beautiful picture.
Yes, I think so, too.
So were you basically finished up with the book at the time of her passing? Did she see
a
final manuscript?
Well, the first week of March, I had finished the rough draft of the manuscript ready to send to the editor, and she'd even chose the cover from several selections that incorporated that picture. But she chose the one in the red, reddish color because she thought that was feisty.
Oh, that's great.
So she did choose the cover, and she did know everything that was in the book. But, of course, the final book wasn't out until June.
Mm-hmm.
And she did die March 22nd.
Mm. That must have been really rough on you, knowing that she didn't get to see that final.
Well, yes, it was. It was, but I was happy that I did it, and the family was very happy that I did it as a keepsake. And so that part of it was good. They liked the book, and they feel it's a wonderful book to pass down to the grandchildren and their children, so they will know what a special lady Lydia was and learn more about why they are special, too.
Mm. So what actually brought Lydia to the town of Elysian?
Okay, Lydia met her husband in Germany after the war. He was stationed there, and they met after the war was over and found they liked each other, and Lydia became pregnant, and John wanted to marry her. He had to reenlist so he could stay in Germany long enough to be there when the baby was born and to marry her. He didn't get permission to marry her until 11 months after the baby was born. And they were actually married three times, twice by the governments on the December 2nd, by the American government and the German government, and then once on the next day in the Catholic Church.
Wow. So that was a done deal.
Yep. Yep. She said that was tied securely. So that was fun.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Edna Thayer. Her new book, Feisty Lydia, Memoirs of a German War Bride, is out now. And Edna's website is FeistyLydia.com. So was she happy with her early life in America?
No.
Really? That's surprising. Why?
Well, I guess maybe you dream of the land of opportunity and have all sorts of dreams in your mind when you decide to come to America, you know, from things you've heard. Well, John, her husband, arrived home on April 1st, and he had sent savings bonds home every month, and when he reenlisted, he got an $800 bonus, which was a lot of money in those days, and his mother had cashed all of it and spent it.
Oh.
And so he had no money to start, you know, build a new house or start over or do anything like that. So the only choice was to move in with her in-laws. And the house, it was a really run-down house on a farm outside of Elysian. It had no running water, no electricity, no plumbing. And it was just a very rustic old house. And to top it off, her mother-in-law was a very meddling mother-in-law. So she actually could not stand living on the farm. And 2 years later, she convinced her husband to buy a house in town.
So it wasn't quite the American dream.
No, it wasn't.
And town was better for her.
It was much better. She got a job in the local restaurant, and although she couldn't speak much English yet, she was able to get by. She was able to memorize the orders and, manage to be a waitress. And the food was free for her family, so she could bring her young son, Johnny, to work with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they got free food, so it was a very good start for her.
A great situation.
Yep, and then she branched out into other jobs.
So how long did it take her feisty nature to come through when she first moved to America?
I think right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the friends who knew her way back then described her that way from the very beginning. Yeah, she had a feisty nature about her.
Oh, gosh. I'm sure it was just so endearing, though. I'm sure she had a lot of friends in the area.
She did. Mm-hmm. She did, yes.
So what is your favorite story that you've included in this book? I believe that you have about 40 stories.
Yes, there's 44 little vignettes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how is it chronological?
Yes, it is. It does start with her birth and it ends with her death. It is chronological.
Okay, so do you have a favorite?
Well, I think one of the stories which best describes her life during the war years comes from the vignette entitled Escaping Death. In 1941, when Lydia was 16, she was working in a beauty shop, and the German government requested that each business send one of their workers to either join the army or to work in a munitions plant. Lydia was the last one hired, so she was the one selected to go. She didn't want to join the army, so she chose to work in a munitions plant. And she was sent to Kreiberg, about 60 miles from her hometown. The plant was state-of-the-art, built entirely underground with a forest of trees on top. The workers lived underground, but Lydia did have a bicycle, and she was permitted to leave when she was not working. After 2 years, when she was 18, she took a bicycle trip to town and met a German soldier who was home on furlough. Just before he had to return to Bremerhaven, submarine, he convinced Lydia to miss work and go on a picnic with him on a bright sunny day at noon on a hillside overlooking the forest of trees covering the munitions plant. Suddenly the sky darkened with a swarm of planes covering the area. Lydia said, "Oh, look, the Germans have some shiny new planes." And her friend said, "Those aren't German planes, those are American planes." Lydia said they flew so low she could almost see the pilots' faces in the cockpit. And just then the bottoms opened up and the bombs fell down. A cloud of smoke and fire rose. No one came out alive from that munitions plant, and Lydia's comment was, "Don't tell me it doesn't pay to play hooky." She always ended her stories in such a fun way. And I think it was her way of maybe getting all this off her chest, all these bad memories, and she would kind of try to make light of them and do it in a fun way.
Right. I mean, I think that laughter is the best medicine, obviously. That's what they say to struggles and just the hardships that she must have really faced in Germany as a teenager.
And, of course, I agree with that from my second book on the benefits of triumph.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and she did. She laughed a lot, and she had a wonderful personality.
So I can see clearly you two really had, you know, a vision of life or an understanding of life that was quite common.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she
right.
must have really left a very strong impression on you. What kind of a difference did she actually make in your life, Edna?
Well, I think one thing, it helped me understand that not all the Germans really even knew what was going on over there and really, you know, supported Hitler, because she had no idea what was really going on behind the walls of Dachau. Even when she pedaled past it on her way back to Neuting after the explosion on her bicycle, she didn't know what was behind those walls. She wondered, and she knew it was some kind of a prison, she thought, for people who opposed the war, but she really didn't know what was going on. And so it was hard for the Germans, too.
When did she find out the reality?
After the war was over, when President Dwight D. Eisenhower decided that everybody should remember, should know and remember what went on there, and he ordered a lot of pictures to be taken so people would remember. And another thing he ordered was for some of the skeletons and corpses to be brought to the hometowns surrounding these prisons, and for the town people to all go out and view them. So Lydia remembers there were about 6 brought to her hometown of Neuting, and she and her family, all the townspeople, had to go march past them in the cemetery. Stench was,
oh,
were swarming, it burned her eyes, but had to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So she was still there. Well, what happened after this explosion? What did she do when suddenly, you know, her job, everyone she knew, was basically gone?
She pedaled back on her bicycle to her hometown of Neuting, and of course she had no money or couldn't call home. She had no food for the trip, and it took her 2.5 days. She doesn't remember sleeping on the way, but she said she may have taken a cat nap in the ditch along the way. Sometimes she would get tired of pedaling, and she would just walk beside her bicycle. She, of course, like I said, she couldn't call home, so her parents expected the worst. The news of the explosion had spread across the countryside like wildfire. So can you imagine when she walked in that door? What her mother thought? Was it a mirage? Was it her spirit? Was it a ghost? But it was Lydia, tired and hungry, but very much alive.
What does her family think reading this book and hearing all of these stories that I'm sure that they've heard before, but in the context of your writing?
The family is very pleased with the book. They like the fact that it was written, and they, you know, are happy with the way it was written. So they feel that it tells a good story about her mother, John's wife, and they're happy about the book.
That's great. Who are you finding to be the reading audience?
Well, mostly adults. However, yesterday I was at a book signing, and there was a girl there who was probably about 8 or 10, so fascinated with the book. So it does appeal to younger people, too.
Well, the stories are timeless, I guess, right?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and the message is timeless as well. So what kind of, you mentioned book signing, what kind of marketing will you be doing for this book? It's been on the shelves for about 3 months now, so
yes.
You've been in promotion.
Yes, I have. The marketing strategies I've used, I've had about 10 book signings. I've had 5 feature and newspaper articles in the surrounding papers, mostly on the front page, and 1 radio interview. This is my second. I am a freelance speaker, so I give speeches on the book, and I've given 3 so far, and I have more scheduled in the future. I have taken it to bookstores in surrounding towns. I have it in 12 different towns so far, and I'm planning more marketing trips this fall. It has been approved by Barnes & Noble, but it isn't in their bookstores yet, but it will be in the future.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's what I'm working on.
Great. You know, I understand that Minnesota is very supportive of their authors. Have you found that?
I think they are. Yes. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of bookstores that have sections that say Minnesota authors. They do try to promote their authors.
So we'll mention the website once again. It's feistylydia.com, and there is all sorts of information about you, this book, your previous work, events coming up, contact information, all of that's available through your website.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's next for you? This whole writing has become a real retirement career.
It has, but I feel it takes about 5 years to fully market a book. So
mm-hmm.
right now I'm not planning on any more books. I'm just planning to market the last two.
Yeah. That's a job in itself, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
As being a small press author, I mean, so much is put on you to really get your book out there.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you finding that to be fun or overwhelming?
For the most part, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to go and tell her story, and it's fun to hear the information and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Well, I just want to thank you, Edna, for coming on the program today. It's been wonderful talking with you, and this has just been so interesting hearing about Feisty Lydia. Did you have any final thoughts you wanted to share today?
Well, thank you, Juanita. Yes, Lydia was indeed warm and caring, albeit feisty, whose spirit helped her to survive many obstacles. I've received many unsolicited compliments on the book, and people tell me it's a great read.
It is a fantastic read. The book reviews coming back are just wonderful. So we wish you all the success, Edna, and really encourage our listeners to go check out this book. It really is fantastic. Thank you so much, Edna.
Okay, thank you, Juanita.
Take care.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, that's been Edna Thayer. Her new book, Feisty Lydia, Memoirs of a German War Bride, is out on shelves now. Website is feistylydia.com. And I just want to thank you once again for tuning into Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.